Welcome to this new week of broadcasts here on Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. Dave Ball here along with Crown CEO Chuck Bentley. And today we'll hear a program we aired a few months back with Dave Scobie. Dave is the national seminar instructor here at Crown, and he is also an expert in the subject of budgeting. Today he'll share some tips with us on setting up a workable spending plan, which, Chuck, not everyone sees in a positive light.
I think there's a connotation that budget means restriction. It means entrapment. It means capping what I want to do, putting me in a fence. And we react that way in the flesh. But in fact, it's the opposite, Dave. It means freedom. And today you're going to hear Dave Scobie explain how liberating it is to have a spending plan. Just think of it that way, that you're going to spend on purpose. And when you spend on purpose, you can accomplish your purpose.
Well, Chuck, so what is it that keeps most people from having an effective budget or spending plan?
Well, I think it's the failure to plan for inevitable expenses, Dave. One thing is we all want to think that we can get by with no financial margin. And so we tend to pack into our plan everything that we really want to do, and we don't create a buffer. And if you live without financial margin, then all these surprise expenses are going to catch up with you. So, for instance, if you have a budget and you have a car payment and gasoline in that budget, or maybe even you've covered for some the expenses that go along with it, like your insurance, but you fail to put repairs in your budget, it's going to catch up with you. You're going to need new tires. At some point, they're going to wear out, and they always cost more than you wish they cost.
Sure.
You're going to have to get a tune-up. You're going to have to keep regular maintenance going, and it's going to break down at some point. You know, I think maintenance and upkeep came with the fall of man back in the Garden of Eden.
Yeah. Well, Chuck, as people prepare a budget, what are some of the most common things that people forget to put into their budget?
I think you need to be sure in your budget, besides maintenance and upkeep and those kind of unexpected surprises that shouldn't be surprises, things like your insurance costs, whether it's property, auto, health, or life, taxes, there's lots of tax burden and more on the way, clothing, you can't do without clothing. We always think we're going to put that off, and next thing you know, you've got to have your wardrobe refreshed, school supplies, pet care, gifts, small medical expenses, and then your vacation. Be sure to plan time to relax and to get refreshed.
Well, those are just a few of the most common things left out of people's budgets, and they'll be available for you to take a look at crown.org. Well, in just a moment, we'll introduce you to Dave Scobie. You're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. We'll be right back.
Are you over 50 and thinking about retirement? Well, if you want to actually experience retirement one day, you have to plan for it. And we have a book that'll tell you how. It's Your Money After the Big 5-0, written by Crown Financial Ministries co-founder Larry Burkett and financial planner Ron Blue. Your Money After the Big 5-0 will equip you with biblical wisdom and practical advice for succeeding in the second half of life, having a fully funded retirement, and being free to serve the Lord. And you'll learn about the importance of finishing strong and leaving a legacy of stewardship to your children and grandchildren. If you're ready to put together a financial plan for a retirement that'll honor God and give you wealth that'll last, get a copy of Your Money After the Big 5-0 right now at crown.org. Your Money After the Big 5-0 by Larry Burkett and Ron Blue is available online at crown.org. That's crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and our guest today is Dave Scobie. Dave, welcome back.
I'm so glad to be here, Chuck. Thank you.
This is a hot topic right now, Dave, because the recession has caused everybody to realize they need to get financial margin in their life. And I've been talking about it for so long, and today you're going to help lead us through how to do it. So thanks for being here, Dave. You and your wife, Judy, walk the walk. You've been doing this for years. What difference has it made in your own life, Dave?
Well, Chuck, if Judy were here today, she would tell you several years ago that she did not like the idea, the word budget. She condensed it to four letters. She said, because I don't like four-letter words.
What? When she dropped a letter out of it?
Yeah, BDGT, I think, is what she condensed it to. But seriously, if she were here today, she would tell you, as we discussed just in the last two or three days, how very thankful she is that we did, in fact, get on a plan, budget. That's all a budget is simply a plan. And we're seeing the rewards of that today because we don't have the stress that so many people are experiencing because we are in a house that's paid for and we are driving cars that are paid for. And it just makes all of the difference in the world. We see money accumulating a little bit instead of just disappearing as most people see it today.
And Dave, people can't tell your age by your youthful voice, but you're living on a retirement pension, right?
That's correct. Mm-hmm. I'm 31, living on a retirement pension.
You're 31. Right. Yeah.
I just celebrated my 31st anniversary of my 31st birthday.
And if you're good with math, which I think most people can figure that one out. Dave, we talked before about budgeting because you're an expert on that and you gave us some tips and techniques. But let's start out with the people who are thinking, how do I stick to a budget? If you've tried it before, give us some tips for sticking with the plan so that I feel as if I can do it if I get started.
Keep it simple. And let me tell you how you do that. One of the biggest mistakes people make is to try to accumulate too much information at one time, and then they feel overwhelmed, and they're discouraged. They don't want to do anything. So they throw up their hands in disgust and stop. This is the way that Judy and I keep it simple. It took me about 4 hours, if I remember correctly, to set up our budget in a software that I use. Now, some people use software. Some people use the back of a paper bag. Some people use the forms we have on our website. It really doesn't matter whichever way is more adaptable to you. I prefer a computer-based system. It makes it easier for us. So maybe it took me a half a day to get it set up in the software. Now, once it's set up and we know where we want to spend the money and where we should be spending the money, how much we want to give, all of the other aspects of dealing with money on a month-in, month-out basis, then we simply keep track of our spending, keeping receipts. If we buy anything, we get a receipt. If we forget to get one for some reason, we'll make one, but rarely do we forget to get a receipt. When we come home, the receipt comes out of my wallet or out of Judy's purse, and it is laid right by the computer. Then every day or two or three, we will record those receipts into the respective spending categories. I always ask people whenever I speak, about how many different purchases might you make in a single day? Well, the response that I receive almost unanimously is 2, 3, maybe 4, maybe 5 on the outset. So you only have 2 or 3 numbers to deal with on a daily basis. Even if you do it every other day, you're probably not going to have more than 4 or 5 numbers to deal with. Well, how long do you think it takes you to write down or to input 4 or 5 numbers? Answer, about 30 seconds. So the way you keep it simple is keeping up with it every day or so, where you only have just a few numbers to deal with. So you're tracking your expenses. You see exactly where the money goes. You're keeping up with the balances in each of the categories where you set it aside every day or so. And then periodically, maybe once a week, you print it out, and it shows the balance in the various categories. How much money I have left for groceries for that month, or how much money do I have left for miscellaneous or entertainment or recreation, whatever the categories are that I'm tracking. And it takes quite literally maybe 15, maybe 30 minutes a month to keep up with it if you do it every day or two or three before you got so much to deal with.
All right, so I've kept track of it, Dave, and I know where I'm at the end of the month. Now what do I do?
Well, hopefully, because you've been disciplined in tracking it and you've made wise decisions based on that information, you have not spent more than you made. That's a fundamental decision that both a couple have to make. Obviously, the individual has to make. So since there is some surplus left over, or at least you've not spent more than you made, then the money that's available in each of the categories, let's say you had $20 left over in groceries. Well, it rolls to the next month, and we add our new grocery allocation for the next month, and let's say your grocery allocation is $400 a month. Well, I'm starting the next month with $420. Or I make a decision based on that information, that I did in fact have $20 left over in groceries, but you know what? I was a little bit short in another area. So I think I'm going to take that leftover grocery money and use it to buy my wife a Valentine present, or to use it to pay an expense that was unexpected. So we're making decisions based on that information month to month to month.
And Dave, are you looking at a single account where all your resources are? In other words, do you have a joint checking account? Or are you talking about debit cards, credit cards? Because sometimes that's where it gets so murky, is because you're not looking at a single account that you're tracking in.
Well, I highly recommend that a husband and wife use a joint account. Scripture says, for this cause a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cling to his wife, and they shall become one. So I recommend that husband and wife have a single account, even though they're both spending out of that account. But it's easier to reconcile rather than to try to keep up with two different accounts. So, yes, you're looking at one account in total. That's where the money's residing. Let's say a checking account, which is typical for people. But the decisions are being made on the plan, on the budget, and not on the checking account balance, because that's what gets people into trouble. They'll make a decision, a spending decision, based on the checking account balance. And they don't realize that that money in the checking account has already been spoken for. There's an expense coming up just around the corner that's going to be required out of that checking account. They made a spending decision on the checking account, and the money's not available for something else that they'd intended for it to be.
Well, you're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We're going to go deeper with Dave Scobie on how you can live on a budget and stick with it. We'll be right back.
Having trouble keeping up with the latest job trends? Not sure where you fit into the marketplace of the 21st century? Well, let me introduce you to a revolutionary career assessment system based on the timeless truth of the Bible, Career Direct from Crown Financial Ministries. Career Direct is designed to help you maximize your God-given talents by focusing on the four critical components in career selection: personality, interests, skills, and values. Most other career guidance tools only analyze a couple of those. Thanks to cutting-edge technology, this comprehensive assessment can be completed in about an hour. And since it's online, once you're done, Career Direct will give you a thorough but easy-to-read personalized report. If you'd like to join the over 120,000 people who have already benefited from using Career Direct, go to crown.org. Find out where God intends for you to fit into the workforce of the 21st century by using the Career Direct Complete Guidance System at crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and we're talking to Dave Scobie, an expert in building a budget and sticking with the budget. Dave, you've spoken to us of how to do this, how to get started, how to get through a single month. But what if we get to the end of the month and there's not enough money for the budget? And I've actually had people say, I don't make enough money to budget. In other words, they believe they're stuck with their overhead, their lifestyle. They literally don't know what to do when it doesn't all reconcile.
Well, if they don't have enough money to budget, then they don't have enough money not to budget, that's for sure. Because we all need a budget. The budget will help them eventually develop a surplus, where they will never develop the surplus without the budget. So what happens when you go through the first time and you look and see that I don't think I have enough money to meet my essential expenses? First of all, let's identify the essential expenses. What are the absolute needs? Basic living expenses, shelter, food, clothing are the needs. If someone, quite literally, and I've spoken to single moms who did not make enough money to meet the basic essential expenses, then the only alternative, obviously, is to get some assistance to increase the income or to earn additional income, because you just cannot get there from here. But most people, even in this economy today, most people are making sufficient money to meet the essential expenses. So you start with a blank sheet of paper, and you define those very essential expenses, and you determine at what point during the month are they due. For example, the rent is due no later than the 10th of the month. the electric bill comes in each month on the 18th, whatever the date might be. So you go down and you list those absolute essential expenses and the time at which they're due during the course of the month. Then you look at your income and start setting up what we call an income allocation. So the money comes in on the 4th. That money has to get me to the 11th, let's say. I get paid on a weekly basis. You look at what absolute expense is due between the 4th and the 11th. Are there sufficient funds out of that check to get you to the 11th? If there are, then you plan for it and you keep the surplus to help you for the next week. If there are not, then you work with that creditor or that utility or whatever the case may be to see if they can delay a payment until you have sufficient funds. So you start working it week to week to start developing a surplus to get you through the next week. That's called an income allocation process. Then, as you're defining those absolute needs, you're going to start identifying those things that are really not needs. And that will help you reduce expenses to develop that surplus or that margin. And that's the key, Chuck. So many people do not have the surplus, do not have the margin. In the Crown Money Map, we talk about working toward Destination 1 of getting $1,000 in the bank, cold hard cash, that is available for those unexpected expenses. That's what normally gets people in trouble because they go grab the credit card. Then the next destination, we work on at least 1 month's worth of expenses to start building some of that transition money. And then the next destination, Destination 3, we build to 3 months' worth of expenses because some people have unexpected loss of income and they do not have the necessary funds to get them through that loss of income period.
Yeah, to the next job. Dave, people listening can learn how to budget from any source. In other words, you don't have to be a follower of Christ to learn how to budget. But you and I both have seen the incredible difference it makes when you are a follower of Christ. Tell us a story of a follower of Christ that you've seen that needed the Lord's help to get their finances in order, that has really encouraged you in the work that God's called you to do.
Well, I was sitting with a couple after a seminar. They came up to me at the break and asked if they could sit down with me after the seminar. So we basically had a counseling session, a coaching session right there at the end of the day in the front pew of the church at the end of the seminar. And what I found out was that they've both been in the real estate business, and they were in a very high-cost housing area that had really slowed down, stopped. And they had both been without an income for a year, but they had not changed their spending patterns. So, great amount of debt, and I could tell that she was really stressed over the house. And I asked her a basic question. I said, "Tell me, whose house is it?" And she said, "Well, it's our house. You know, we've got the mortgages, plural." And I said, "No, but whose house is it?" Well, when I asked the question the second time, she remembered a conversation, a discussion we'd had early in the day during the seminar about the fact that God owns everything. Well, then she realized the answer was, "Well, it's God's house." Now, as she said those words, the tension came out of her face. The tears started to flow, and they flowed very freely. But at that moment, when she recognized that God was in control and she was not, she went from off the chart and stress to a much, much lower stress level. Nothing externally had changed. Obviously, she was in the exact same shape she had been the moment before. But much in the spiritual realm has changed because she acknowledged God's sovereignty. She acknowledged that He was in control of the situation. They were unable to control the situation. And I saw an immediate change in her demeanor, her stress level, and her spiritual maturity.
Dave, for people who want to get started right now, they're listening to you talk, they're encouraged, what do you recommend that they do right now?
Right now, go to our website, find the nearest Journey to True Financial Freedom seminar that's occurring in their area, and register. If they don't have one close by, then request a Money Map coach. Go online, talk to a Money Map coach, but get some assistance to help them get from where they are to where they want to be.
And Dave, they can find both of those resources at crown.org. It's been great having you as our guest today. Hope you'll come back.
Thanks, Chuck.
You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back.
Running a successful business in this very challenging economy takes more than hard work and a business degree. It takes time-proven principles of leadership, decision-making, and people skills, and a coach to help you navigate these uncharted waters. Business by the Book brings the brightest minds in history to bear on the most important issues facing your business today. Business by the Book provides a step-by-step outline from God's Word on topics such as hiring and firing, pay increases and promotions, management team selection, and much more. Authored by well-known financial expert Larry Burkett, Business by the Book offers a biblical worldview to businesses of all types. Whether you're a startup or an established firm, Business by the Book will coach you through important decisions and guide you each step of the way from God's Word. Business by the Book is available now at crown.org. That's crown.org. Log on, order your copy, and begin enjoying the satisfaction of running your business by the book today.
Welcome back to this edition of Money Life. And Chuck, in these last few minutes, let's continue the discussion about available resources for people who are looking to shore up their finances.
Well, Dave, as I just mentioned, getting into one of our seminars. They're called the Journey to Financial Freedom Seminars, and that's a great starting place. You're going to hear from people that Dave Scobie has trained, or you may even invite Dave Scobie himself, because they do a wonderful job of walking you through each step that you need to take to get on that road.
Well, take just a minute, Chuck, and give us an idea of what people can expect at one of these seminars.
Well, our trained seminar instructors are used to working with people one-on-one, so they know how to answer questions, and they know how to apply God's Word to your specific situation. But when you go to the seminar, they walk you through the entire process, what God's Word says about specific topics like debt, saving, spending, getting on a budget, how to get out of debt, how to increase your giving, all of those things that you probably want to achieve as a Christian or as a Christian couple. And then they show you exactly the steps that you need to take. And they walk you through those processes so that when you leave, you not only know what God's Word says, you know how to apply it, you know how to do it, you know what steps to take first, what sequence to follow, and how to get to the other end. And we hear so often that people who go to the seminar find it motivating to begin that journey and to get the tools necessary to make it happen.
Well, how long is the seminar?
Well, typically, Dave, it's an 8-hour seminar, and people do it differently. They may divide it into a Friday evening, Saturday morning. They may do it an all-day Saturday. Some people want to condense it to 6 hours. But I think having a full 8 hours immersed into the topic is what really gets people set on the right path.
And if someone wanted to find out if there was a seminar in their area, how can they do that?
Well, Dave, they just go to crown.org, click on In My Area, and they can find all of the schedules for seminars going on around the country, or they can contact us and schedule one for their area.
Well, that's great. You know, Chuck, for those who either won't have one in their area or want to do something on their own, what are some of the other resources that we have to help folks get on a budget?
Well, Dave, you can go online right now and talk to a free trained Money Map coach. Now, Money Map coach will ask you questions about your current situation and show you which steps you need to take first, which, by the way, is to save $1,000. And so many people listening don't have $1,000 saved. And I would highly recommend, if you don't have $1,000 in the bank right now that you can touch, go online and talk to a Money Map coach today. They can help you get that.
You know, it's an important thing to also mention here, Chuck, that all of the conversations between you and a Money Map coach are completely confidential. And if you have multiple sessions, you end up going back to that same Money Map coach. So you really are building a relationship with someone who's going to be a counselor.
Well, Dave, not only that, we set it up online so that nobody had to be embarrassed. And nobody had to leave their home. You can do it right at home. Go to the local library. Get online. It's free, and it will certainly help you get on the right path.
Well, you can find out more about online Money Map coaching, the Money Map itself, other online forms, and other resources that we have at crown.org. It's crown.org. Well, for Chuck Bentley and the entire staff here at Crown Financial Ministries, this is Dave Ball saying thanks for joining us for this edition of Money Life.